Says the Gemara, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We began this last time. Tanya, sixth wide line. Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Mishalei Ro'od Yuflustun Shalachsalia Achsalah Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. Whoever didn't see this magnificent structure, which we're going to see soon, basically it was a shul, an enormous shul. Whoever did not see it in Alexandria Mitzrayim Lei Ro'od B'Kvaidon Shal Yisrael, obviously never saw the honor of Klal Yisrael. This was a magnificent building, shul in which they used to daven, which was made lechvoidon shel Yisrael. Omru, they said, kamin basilki gedoyla hoysa. What does that mean? Basilki gedoyla hoysa. So Rashi says, basilki paltirin, on about the fifth or sixth last narrow line. It's after a Rashi we haven't yet learnt. We'll see it soon. Paltirin gavoyin. High palaces, nikraim basilkois, are called basilkois. Therefore, this place was basically built, and it looked like a palace. Phenomenal structure. What did it look like? Stiv lefnim mistiv. So Rashi says, stiv, let's go back now, further up a little bit. Stiv, kofel, doubled. Li yeshivas sorim shal Alexandria. So that the sorim, the princes, the rulers, the ministers of ministers, the yeshiva sorim shel Alexandria, said the ministers of Alexandria could sit there. Shehol chusham, Yoichanan ben Kireach. Yoichanan ben Kireach v'sorei hachayolim, and all the ministers of the armies. La'acha churban bayis rishon, after the first churban b'mei Yirmi, in the times of Yirmi. V'nisyash v'sham, in other words, there was a big settlement of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim after the churban, after the first churban. Va'afal pi sha'ola shom Nebuchadnezzar. And even though Nebuchadnezzar went up there, v'hichriv es Mitzrayim, and he destroyed Mitzrayim, v'nehergu mi Yisrael sha'olchu shom, and the Jews who went there were killed, k'moishan isnabe aleihem Yirmiyahu, as Yirmiyahu had prophesied. Nonetheless, olu b'neihem shom l'gedula. But nonetheless, the children did rise up to tremendous power and to tremendous wealth. Gedula is greatness, power, va'osha, and wealth. Ad she'echrivom Alexandros. Until eventually, the Gemara will talk about this shortly, until Alexandros came onto the scene and he ruined and he wiped them out as well. But at least this tkufa, this period that they were in Alexandria, Mitzrayim, was a period of tremendous success and wealth for Klal Yisrael. And this building that went up was so magnificent that if anybody didn't see it, they've never seen a covered for Klal Yisrael. So now we're going to see a rather detailed account, description of what this building looked like. So, stiv lifnim misiv, doubled. What was doubled? Maybe the seating in it. Shahoyu ba. They take out the words pa'omim. Shahoyu ba kiflayim kiyetze Mitzrayim. We have no idea what this, can you imagine what that means? How many people left Mitzrayim? 600,000.
Double.
So here you could double it. A building that could house 1.2 million people. Architecturally, it's in quite a staggering feat, even for nowadays. I'm not sure if any building can house 1.2 million, or even 600,000, or even 60,000. Well, you can have 60,000.
Are you allowed to say it's an exaggeration?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Kiflaim Kiyetz Mitzrayim. It housed 1.2 million. Vahoyu Bo, and it had in it Ayin Aleph 71 Katadrois Shal Zohov. How do they translate katadrois? It's more than just chairs. It's it's like plush chairs. Says Rashi. Says the Gemara. Why 71? Keneged Ayin Aleph 71 Zakenim. You're supposed to read it. Shal Sanhedrin Gedolah. Says Rashi. Keneged Shivim Ve'echad Zakenim Shaosu Lohem Sanhedrin. They made a Sanhedrin there. Not the first time. Or the last time in the history of Klal Yisrael. So they had in this structure, amongst other things, they had 71 magnificent chairs for a Sanhedrin. Kol achas v'achas, says the Gemara, each and every one of them, eino p'chusa, was not less, me estrim v'echod. Now the word ribui is taken out, kikore zohov, which is a phenomenal amount as well. Each one was made from no less, maybe more, but no less, than 21 kikar of zohov, which is a colossal amount. Ubima shel eitz, and a platform of wood, be'emtzi osa, was in the middle, similar to the bima that we customarily have in the middle of our shul. V'chazan ha'knesses. Now, the word chazan is a very confusing word. We use chazan as in the shliach tzibur, but the lashon of chazal doesn't mean shliach tzibur. Shliach tzibur is shliach tzibur. Chazan is more like the gabbai or the shamash, as Rashi himself says quite clearly over here on the last narrow line. Chazan ha'knesses, shamash ha'tzibur. He was the shamash. He was the assistant. He was the manager of the shulah. So what did he do? Chazan HaKnesses Oymed Oleho would stand on this bima v'hasudrin biyodoy. What's sudrin? Some sort of material, cloth in his hand. I think this is a very famous Gemara. V'kivin shehigia la'anois amein. And when it came time for the tzibur to respond amein, haloi, he, this particular Shamash, Meinif Basudar, he would lift up. Remember, Meinif is similar to the word we learned early on in Masechta Tznufa. What's Tznufa? To lift up and wave.
Wave it.
So Meinif, he would lift up Basudar for Kol Ha'om Oynim Omein. Why would he do that? Says Rashi on the last narrow line, La'anois Omein. Shehoyo shliach shelifnei hateva. Who's that? The chazan. What we call the chazan. The shliach tzibur. Teva is the omud. Right? When we talk about the bal tefillah, it goes to the omud. Which omud? Omud literally just means the pillar. That's what we call where the chazan stands. He goes to the omud. So therefore, the shliach shelifnei hateva. Why is he called a shliach, by the way?
Your representative. The rest of the people.
In what way is he representative? Nowadays, the chazan is not really a shliach tzibur as such.
Well, it used to be because we couldn't read.
It used to be because nobody could read. Therefore, he really was representing the tzibur. By the way, you know the halacha. If the gabbai asks you to be the shliach tzibur, you're supposed to refuse.
Three times.
Until the third time you accept. Why? What a strange halacha. Why is that? The answer is because, even if not now, but it used to be that to be the shliach tzibur was a tremendous kavod, because everybody else was basically ignorant or illiterate and they couldn't read or didn't know the tefillahs by baal peh, and this person did, and he was going to mitzi the entire tzibur with the davening. It was a tremendous kavod. Therefore, out of modesty, one should refuse. Nowadays, when you ask somebody, do me a favor, just daven mincha, be there, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. All you have to do is read from the Siddur. Everybody can read. So either way, shoya shliach shelifnei hateva goymer birchosei, he would finish his bracha. Vehein, and they, who's they? The tzibur, loy hoyu yecholin kulon. They could not all lishmoya koila, hear his voice. Why not? Because too big. Got 1.2 million people in shul. You know, that's quite a big minion. Imagine how long it took to say good Shabbos to the rabbi at the end. Probably from week to week.
So the Kehillah, if you say that 1.2 Mispalim, so the Kehillah, you have to double that plus the kids and the.
Okay, you wouldn't want to be the candy man in this shul, put it that way. Rather expensive. 1.2 million lollies a week. Maybe more.
Thank you.
there is a discussion. Maybe we should see it briefly. If you look at the next Amud, the top Tosfos, just the beginning of the Tosfos, because there are important halachic connotations of this particular piece of Gemara with regard to the Amen. By the way, right, so let's have a look. Can you see where it says V'kivan, there's a little star? In the margin it says Shayech la'omud ha'koidim. This is really refers to the previous page. This Tosfos should really be on the previous page. The printer could not fit it in. Says Tosfos, V'kivan she'igia la'anois omein, meinif basuda v'kol ha'om, oinim omein. Ba'oruch, what's Oruch? Nothing to do with the Shulchan Oruch. Oruch was a very early Rishon. Tosfos quotes in many places. Ba'aruch kash yalei l'Rabbeinu Nisim. It's recorded there in the Aruch that Rabbeinu Nisim had the following kasha. Hod oma bereish gemara d'shloisha she'ochlu. There is a perek in Brachos, the seventh perek, called Three People Who Ate Together, All Halachas of Zimun. And it says there, Ein, Oinin, Omein, Yesoima. Do not answer an orphaned Omein. What is an orphaned Yesoimim? An orphaned Omein, says Tosfos, V'ha'hacha, surely over here, Loi Shamu HaBracha. They didn't hear the Bracha, as we said, it was just too large. Ela Bahanofas HaSudrin, with the waving of the flag, Yoidin, that's how they knew, Shehigia Oinas Omein. What does the Oinas Omein mean? The period of Omein has come up. Everybody knows that when there's davening, every so often there's Omein. It's not a surprise to you, but you don't know exactly when. So they wave a flag. Ah, okay, so apparently we'll reach the next Omein. Vehein Oinin Omein Yesoimo. And they are now answering an orphaned Omein. So what does it mean, an orphaned Omein? An orphaned Omein is a Omein which is detached from its parent, the Bracha. That's why it's called an orphan. So if you never heard the Bracha, and you had no idea that the fellow said a Bracha, and you only know about it because he waved a flag, so even though it's a very good practical solution, but how is it a halachic solution? You mustn't answer Omein under those circumstances. It's Mefurish Gemara. So this is the kasha that the Oruch in the name of Rabbeinu Nisim asks. Umafarish, and he explains b'shem in the name of Rabbonon d'bnei Ma'arova. What's the Rabbonon d'bnei Ma'arova? What's always the b'nei Ma'arova? People in the West, Eretz Yisrael. So he explains in the name of the Rabbonim of Eretz Yisrael. She'al mi shehu chayev bracha ka'omar. This whole principle of Omein Yesoimo only refers to somebody who is essentially chayev that particular bracha. Uba'an yosoi Omein, and by answering Omein, roitze lotze sidei chayvosa, he wants to be yotze his chayv. Let's just press pause and we'll explain. When I say Omein to your bracha, as we know, there's a general rule, whenever you say a bracha, I answer Omein. Pretty much without exception, that's the rule. I hear you say a bracha. Whether that bracha has anything to do with me or not, I say Omein. If I see you eating your apple, and you say Borei Pri or Eitz, and I respond Omein. That bracha has no relevance to me. But imagine I myself have an apple, and I need to say Ho'eitz, and you are being Moitzimi with a bracha. There's only one way I can be Yotze with a bracha, and what's that? By saying Omein. So for there, the Omein is completely different in nature to a regular Omein when I'm just listening, overhearing your bracha. Because that's an Omein by which I attach myself to your bracha because I'm not making a bracha and I'm chayev in that bracha. This is very negeah, for example, and again, hundreds of cases, but let's take a classic example. Every Friday night, Kiddush. Everybody in the house, without exception, is mechuyev in Kiddush. Men, women, there's no difference. But as we know, the minhag is that one person makes kiddush on everybody's behalf. But it's not that you, the makadesh, are more mukhayev than anybody else, they're as mukhayev as you. By listening to your bracha and responding, amen, they are yaitza your chiev. How does that work, by the way? Which principle we learned early on in this Masechta? Shemeya Ka'ina. The phenomenal chiddush, which is called Shemeya Ka'ina. Who would have thought of such a thing? Apparently, if I listen to you, this is if I spoke. Does that make sense to you? Massive chiddush, unbelievable chiddush. But that's a principle that we all know. We almost rely on every single day of our lives. Shemeya Ka'ina. Says Tosfos, that's where the principle of Amen Yesayma applies. What does Amen Yesayma mean? An orphaned Amen. I cannot detach my Amen from the bracha if the whole reasoning that I'm answering Amen is in order to attach myself to your bracha. But if I hear you saying Bari Pri Ha'etz, or, in theory, if I don't hear you saying Bari Pri Ha'etz, but somebody waves a flag which says, Rabbi Sheffield just now said Bari Pri Ha'etz, and I answer Amen. Why am I answering Amen? Not because I'm trying to attach myself to your bracha. I don't have an apple that I'm eating now. I'm busy minding my own business. So there's no principle of Amen Yisrael. How does that help us in this particular Gemara? We'll see in a moment. But that's the difference that Tosa says. Let's have a look again. Umafarish. Have a look at the first narrow line. Umafarish b'shem. Yeah, first narrow line, Tosa. Umafarish b'shem Rabbanon d'mei ma'arava. So he explains there in the name of the Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael that this principle of Amen Yisraelim she'al mi shehu chayev bracha ka'oma. Remember, we always said ka'oma means what? Is meant. What we mean when we say a principle of Amen Yisayma, what is meant is a case when you're chayev in that bracha. Uba'ani yosei omein, and by answering omein, reitze lotzeis yidei chayvosei, you would like to be yoitze your chayev, then tzorich sheyishma, then you must listen. V'achakach yane omein, and after that you answer omein. V'loy yane omein yisayma. That's when we say there's a principle: do not answer an omein yisayma.
In our case here, when you say that,
what we haven't explained yet. V'ha da'oinin omein b'hanofas sudrin. Now he's going to bring it back to our Gemara. So you've told me the principle. You've told me that Amen Yisayma only refers to when? To a bracha that you are chayev in. So then you must listen to the bracha and respond immediately. Whereas in our Gemara, that's not the case. Fahad oinin Amen b'hanofas sudrin. When it says over here that they waved the flag and they answered Amen, that was not referring to a bracha that they were chayev to say. Do you know what it's talking about? Hainu bekriyas sefer Torah. What happens in kriyas sefer Torah? Every person gets an aliyah. And he goes up and he makes his bracha. When he makes his bracha, is he being moitzi me with a bracha? No, why not?
It's for him.
Because he's the one who's going up to the Torah, I'm not. As opposed to tefillah, as we said before. In those days, tefillah, the shliach tzibur, was just that. He was a shliach of the tzibur. He was being moed to you. Then, hanofas sudrin would not work. So how did it work? How, in fact, was the chazan moed to the tzibur there if they couldn't hear? I have no idea. But this flag business would not do the trick. Because at the end of the day, you did not hear the bracha that you're mechuyev to hear. Whereas in the case of Kriyas HaTorah, and Tosfos says, that's what we're referring to, I'm not mechuyev to hear your bracha. If I happen to overhear it, or I happen to be made aware that you made the bracha, then what do? I respond Amen. How am I made aware? So wave the flag. That's what Tosfos says. V'ha da'oinin Amen ba'nofas sudrin. That which they responded Amen by waving the flag, hainu b'kriyas sefer Torah, but v'loy b'tfilah, not with tfilah, veloy bedova sheshliach tzibur moitzi rabim yidei chayvasam. But it's not referring to a bracha that the rabbim are muchuyev and somebody's being moitzi me. So what is the Gemara talking about according to Tosfos? Which brachas? Kriyas HaTorah. Not tefillah, and not anything else that the rabbim were muchuyev. Now, I don't know, it's not really Tosfos' issue. So how were they yotzei tefillah then?
Right.
That's not Tosfos' issue.
I would have thought just the opposite. They have an obligation to answer tefillah because they can't say it themselves.
Right.
They can't hear.
Right.
So when they wave the flag, that's their opportunity to...
No, but again, that's Tosol principle.
I understand.
Waving the flag is a good way of sending information. But Omen Yosema says you cannot attach yourself to a bracha, if I never heard it.
Okay.
Yeah, but I know he said it. Very nice. Someone sent me an email. So, you know, your friend in America said
it. How did they fulfill their...
Why
did they go to shul?
Yeah, that's not Tosol's issue. That's not Tosol's issue. Tosol's issue is a different issue. How can it be that you respond Omen to a bracha that you never heard? The answer is because they're not mechuyev in this bracha.
Doesn't the Mishnah Berurah hold that in the case of Kriyas HaTorah that all of the Torah, if you can't hear him, shouldn't the Gabbai tell him that he has to repeat the bracha?
That's for a different reason.
So why? How does this work then?
That's a different reason. One second.
Okay.
Yeah, Tosfos afterwards does continue and suggest different tirutzim.
At the end of the day, it sounds like it really accomplishes little, according to Tosfos.
With regard to tefillah?
There's nothing for tefillah. 1.2 million people who are buffing need tefillah. I don't think so. Especially when they're in the more after, like silversmiths and gold.
Yeah. There are other tirutzim, by the way. There are other tirutzim. That Tosfos himself mentions later on. There are the Tirutzim which say that the principle of Omen Yosema only refers to when you don't actually know which bracha you're answering. In other words, if I tap you on the shoulder and I say, Zelik, he just said a bracha, say Omen. That's an Omen Yosema. There's no attachment to the bracha. But if you know which bracha he's saying, I'm just unable to hear the words. I know when Shemona Esra, I know he's up to the seventh bracha. So I know he was. So the flag is not informing me that he said the bracha. I know he said the bracha. Because I can hear maybe some sort of noise. I just can't make out the words. So he waves the flag so I know what he's saying. Then it would help for tefillah as well. There's a whole discussion. But it's an important principle. Now, what you mentioned before, Avraham, is also important. The Shulchan Aruch talks about people getting an aliyah. Now, sometimes you see people who don't know this halacha. Have you ever been to a shul? I'm sure you have. Or somebody gets an aliyah, and basically you can't hear the fellow saying the aliyah. Now, I'm not saying he has to yell it out at the top of his voice. When is there a mitzvah to say B'koil Rom? Brukus Koyanim. Now, you do have to say it loud. Here there's a different issue. The Shulchan Aruch brings an opinion that says if you didn't say it loud, you're not Yotze the Bracha. We don't paskin like that. The paskin, if you didn't say it loud, you are Yotze the mitzvah of getting aliyah to the Torah. Says the Bi'ah Halacha, a very, very important principle. The Bi'ah Halacha says the following. There is a big discussion. I don't want to launch into the whole thing now because it's a very, very lengthy discussion. I just want to mention the bottom line. When you go up to the Torah, Rabbi Yosef, which bracha do you make? Asher bochar bo mikol amim. Which bracha is that? That's Birkas HaTorah. Didn't you already say it for Shacharis? groups. Why are you saying it again? Question of all the rishonim. What are you doing when you read from the Torah? You're learning Torah. So that's why you're making a bracha. I've already made a bracha. If you would walk into shul not having made a bracha and just at that very moment you're still rubbing your eyes, you're half asleep, and the gabbai says, "Ya moed," fine, that's a different story. But if you've already said Birkas HaTorah, why is there a chiv to say Birkas HaTorah again? This is the famous question of all the Rishonim. You know what the answer is? The Torah says, and this is where the Shulchan Aruch paskens, you're right. This is a special bracha that was introduced because of Kavod HaTorah. What does it mean, Kavod HaTorah? When I learn Torah as an individual, that's my own private limud Torah. But here, this is a public demonstration of limud Torah. Balkaira is reading it loud, so it's an issue of kavod haTorah. There's many, many halachic ramifications of this principle. Says the Mishnah Brura, what type of kavod haTorah is it if you say a bracha and nobody can hear? Therefore, says the Bir Halacha, whilst at the end of the day, he says, I cannot argue with the Ramah. As I mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch brings two opinions. But the Ramah, at the end of the day, says, if he says the bracha quietly, you're yotze. Says the Bir Halacha, all right, I can't argue with that. Bottom line is, you're yotze. Says the Mishnah Brura, the Bir Halacha, but I just want to explain to you how important it is to say it loud. Because if the entire reason why we're saying the bracha is because of kavod haTorah, well, it's not much covered if you say a bracha. Nobody can hear it. Now, if you did say it quietly, fine, you yotze the mitzvah. It's true, says Mishnah Brura, I can't argue. But he's trying to promote the campaign of saying bracha breaks the Torah. Right? Okay, back to our Gemara. So, that is a very important halachic issue that emerges from this Gemara. The famous Gemara, I think everybody knows, that the shul in Alexandria was so big they had to wave a flag to say Amen. And that's what Tosis is discussing. What happened to Amen, you say? Okay, back into the Gemara. Veloy hoyu yoishvin mu'uravin. They would not sit mixed. What does that mean? What? Men and women? No, it doesn't mean that. Hello. What it means is Zahavin Bifnei Atzman Vekaspin Bifnei Atzman. What's Zahavin?
Goldsmiths.
Rashi says on the top line of the white line Zahavin Kaspin Tzurfei Zohav Tzurfei Kesef. Goldsmiths, silversmiths, they would all have their separate section. I guess if you have 1.2 million seats in the shul, there's you can do that. A separate area for goldsmiths. So the Zahavim sat as a group by themselves. The Kaspin, Bifnei Atzmon, they also sat as a group by themselves. The Nafochim, Bifnei Atzmon. What's Nafochim? Says Rashi, Charashe Barazel, metal workers. The Tarasim Bifnei Atzmon. What's Tarasim? Says Rashi, Charashe Nechoshes, coppersmiths. We're going to see in next week's parasha, in Parashas Truma, when it talks about construction of the base of Middosh, and it talks about Maasei Chorosh. Carpenters, as it were. But you can have a carpenter of wood, you can have a carpenter, as it were, of gold or silver. The Garadian, Bifnei Atzmon. What's Garadian? Says Rashi, one word. Oregon, sorry, Rabbezim. Oregon, weavers. The Gemara says a very beautiful thing. When a poor man entered the shul, because we've just mentioned that there was a special section for every single type of every single type, every type of craftsman. So therefore, Kasha'oni Nichnas Shom, Hayomakir Baale Umnosa. He would recognize his fellow craftsmanship. This is a poor fellow. He's a professional coppersmith, but he can't get work. Why can't he get work? For whatever reason. So what does he do? He would immediately make his way to where all his fellow craftsmanship, his fellow workers were sitting. The Nifne Lashom. And he would turn to there. Omisham Paranasase. And from there he would get work. Or Paranasas, Anshe Beso, and have enough Paranasa for him and all the people of his house. Says Rashi. V'nifne l'shom, he would turn there, v'niskar lohem, and he would be hired out to them, l'malachtom, for their work. Which was the obvious maila of having everybody sitting in their particular section. So you know that if you're a goldsmith, so you go to the area of all the goldsmiths. And that way, hopefully, somebody will be able to find you some work. That is the end of the description of what this magnificent shul looked like. Omar Abaya, the tragic end. Vekulu, Katlinu, Alexandrus, Mokdon. There's a whole discussion whether the Girisa is with Mokdon, not Mokdon. Is this Alexander the Great, or it's not Alexander the Great? There's a whole discussion. But either way, they're all killed. My timer. Why Ianshu? Why did they get punished in this way? All the Jews there were wiped out. Why? Mishum the Ovri. Because they transgressed a high crow, the following pasuk. What does it say? Loi seisifun loshu v'derech hazeh oid. You're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. And they did. So because they transgressed this issue, they were all killed. What is the famous question? Who else lived in Mitzrayim? The Rambam lived in Mitzrayim. So the Ritva asks a question, how did the Rambam live in Mitzrayim? It's a deraisa. There is a huge discussion. Remember the Friday morning shurim days?
Mm-hmm.
Once gave a shiur on this subject. Is there an issa just to go to Mitzrayim or only to live in Mitzrayim? The Radvaz says the Rambam lived in Mitzrayim because it was Pekuach Nefesh. He was the personal royal physician. It is alleged, and there are sources to suggest this, very, very early sources, that the Rambam, when he used to write a letter, incredibly, used to sign off the letter in the following way. I, Moshe ben Maimon, the Rambam, who am over three lavin every single day. It says three times in the Torah you mustn't go back to Mitzrayim. So it's alleged that's how he used to sign off his letters. I, Moshe ben Maimon, who am transgressing three lavin every day. Why did he? Because it was Pekuach Nefesh or several other reasons. There's many, many, many. It's a big discussion, a very, very big discussion. But this is the famous Gemara. So what happened? It says in the Torah, "Lo yisifun loshu b'derech hazeh." Oh, you're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim. Ve'inu hodur asu, and they did go back. So, because they went back to Mitzrayim, that's why they met such a tragic end. Ki asa, when he came, when who came? Alexander. Ashkechinu, he found them. Dahavakaru b'sifra. At that very moment that he arrived, they were learning the Sefer Torah. The pasuk that in fact says, Yiso Hashem Olecho Goy Meirochei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a goy from distance, which is exactly what happened. Omar, so he gave like a whole moshel. And what did he say? He said, Omar, Mechte Hahu Gavra, this person, which person?
Me.
He's referring to himself. Boi Lemese, he wanted to arrive Sfinta in a boat. Ba'asara yoimi, in 10 days. In other words, it should really have taken me
10 days
to arrive here. And incredibly, Dalia Zika, a wind blew, Va'asi Sfinta, and brought the boat, B'chamisha yoimi. In other words, he saw himself as fulfilling the pasuk that it says, Yiso Hashem Olecha. What does it mean, Yiso Hashem Olecha? Goy. Kadosh Baruch Hu will transport the Goy Merachek. And he says, see, this is exactly what's happened to me. Because it should really have taken me 10 days to arrive. And I've seen that the distance, the speed has been halved. It took me 5. Nofal Olayhu, he descended upon them. Kotlinu and he killed. Says Rashi, second white line. Hahu gavra hava olov ne'emar mikro zer. Upon him, in other words, on me, this pasuk is referring to me, v'gezeiras melechi. And this is apparently the decree of the king, lahachriva, to destroy Mitzrayim. V'dalia zika govo haruach. The Ruach became very strong. So he saw himself as divinely sent to go and wipe out Klal Yisrael on the basis of the fact that they transgressed this Issa of returning to Mitzrayim. Okay. Let's make a start to the new sugya. B'moitzei Yom Tov. So remember we saw in the Mishnah a rather vague expression. It said that on Motzei Yom Tov they descended Ezra's Noshim, and they did there a tikkun godol. Not at all clear what this tikkun was. So let's see the Gemara. My tikkun godol. What was this tikkun? Amar of Elazar, ka'os asher shoninu. Like that which was learned elsewhere, it says, chaloka hoisa barishaino. The Ezra's Noshim initially was chaloka. What does chaloka mean?
Smooth.
We'll see what this means. Vehi kifuha gezuztra. And they then, initially it was just a smooth Ezra's Noshim, they then surrounded it with a gezuztra, some sort of balcony sticking out. Vehi skinu, and they were masakin, this was the tikkun gadol, sheyu noshim yoishvois milmalo. That men should be at the bottom and the women at the top. Now, before we see Rashi, let's immediately continue in the Gemara. Because Tana Rabbanan, Bari Shaina, initially Hayu Noshim Bifnim, Vanoshim Bibachutz. The Noshim on the inside, the men on the outside, Vahu Boim Lidei Kalus Roish, and is brought about an atmosphere of frivolous behavior. So he tried to switch around. That instead of the women being on the inside, they should be on the outside, so that the men would not have to go through the Ezra's Noshim, but it didn't help. Why? Because they were next to each other. So this was the big tikkun. It clearly doesn't work to have them side by side, whether one is inside and the other one's outside makes no difference. The only way is you have to have the Noshim upstairs. And this was the tikkun gadol, and as Rashi is going to explain, this was an annual tikkun. So initially the Ezra's Noshim was smooth, but then they had these balconies that stuck out, jutted out, which they were temporary. They fixed every single year, and that's where the Noshim would stand, overlooking the men, which is basically the source of our Ezra's Noshim that we have today. Says Rashi. Third wide line. Chaloka hoya. It was smooth. Ho Ezra's Noshim. The Ezra's Noshim was smooth Barishayna initially. Veloy hoyu zizin. There were no protrusions. Yoitzin min haksolim. What's a ksolim from the walls? Like the word kosel. There were no protrusions from the walls. Then vehiki fuha gezuztra nosnu zizin biksalim. They put these zilim, these protrusions in the walls, boiled in min hakoisel, What does Boilton mean?
Protrude.
Protruding from the wall. Saviv, Saviv, all the way around. V'kol shono. And every year, Masadrin Shom, Gazus tries. And every year, they used to be Masad, they used to refix up these balconies. Levochim. Shakirin blank. Some sort of platform.
Plank.
Plank. Kadesh Yunoshim Oim Doisham, so that the women should stand there. V'simchas Beis Asher Eva. Varoyes, and that way they could see the activity going on downstairs. Zehu Tikkun Gadol. This is the Tikkun Gadol. Tiktoni Masnisin, that stated in our Mishnah, Shemasaknim Bekol Shana, that they did every single year. Mibafnim. Initially, the women were Bifnim. The Azaz Noshim. The men were Mibachutz. Berechova Shal Arabayas Vahaubachel. In the open expanse, the Rechava, the square, the Harabayas and the Chel, that didn't work. They then switched it around that the men should be on the inside, on the outside, the women on the inside. That didn't work either. So that's why they did this tikkun every single year, so as to avoid this Kalus Reish. Problem is, says the Gemara, Heichi Ovid Hochi. How could you're not allowed to change the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. V'hoksiv. Surely it is written, Hakoil b'ksav. It is all written, Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil. Who said this? David HaMelech. Have a look at Rashi. Heichi Ovid Hochi. How do they do this? Shoi Sifu, that they added Veshinu, and they changed Klum. Al Binyan Shloimo. You're not allowed to add. With regard to David HaMelech, it says, when he instructed his son, remember, David HaMelech began the process, but he never actually built the Beis HaMikdash. His son, Shlomo HaMelech, when he instructed him, Al Midas HaBayis Ubinyonoi, when he instructed him with regard to the measurements of the bayis and the construction, he told him, Hakol B'Ksav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil. Kol Meleches HaTavnis. The whole Melacha of the Tavnis. What's the Tavnis? Of the infrastructure. Shehoidiyoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Yedei God HaChoyze. Through God. That was his name. The Choyze, the Novi, the Nosen HaNovi. It's all been written Miyad Hashem, and it's not to be changed. So how could they come? For the best intentions in the world, clearly they had the right intentions. They wanted to avoid the Kalus Reish. But for all the right intentions in the world, who gives you the right to alter the shape of the Beis HaMikdash? David HaMelech clearly told his son Shlomo that this is the way it is. I've been instructed from the Nevi'im, and this is the way it's going to remain. Says the Gemara, Omar Rav, Kro Ashkechoi V'Dorosh. This wasn't just introduced merely as a good idea. They actually found a pasuk to back it up. Says Rashi, Kro Ashkechei, they found a pasuk that says, Shetzorich lahavdil anoshim minoshim. V'la'asois geder b'Yisrael, and to make a geder shelo yovo ulide kilkul, so that there should be no kilkul. What does kilkul mean? There shouldn't be any ruin of Kalus Reish. What was the pasuk? Okay, we'll leave it over here. We'll see you next time. But that answers the question. If you come along and you decide, I'd like to make an alteration for the best intentions in the world, then you can't. Because there is a way that the Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be set up. But if there is a pasuk that specifically backs it up and says, no, there must be a Havdalah, a separation between the Noshim and the Noshim. So it's not my edition. This has all been pre-recorded by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But that's not called changing the midos, the measurements of the Beis HaMikdash.
This discussion in the Gemara on the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about Bayis Sheni?
Bayis Rishon? This is Bayis Rishon.
This is Bayis Rishon?
This is Bayis Rishon, yeah. Shlomo HaMelech called Bayis Rishon.
Oh, no, I know that I understand. But in terms of this whole discussion of...
Yeah, every Beis HaMikdash. Even the Bayis Rishon. Even the Bayis Rishon. Yeah. Cool. possibly, well, right, the Tanoim were writing in the times of the Baal Shem. You're right, I'm not sure. Okay, as you see, these Gemaras are more agadaic than halachic, besides this Omein Yosema discussion. That's why we'll try and keep moving swiftly. All the very best.